Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am very grateful to be with you on this beautiful December 28th, 2019 day as we end this year. It's been a dilly of a year for, I'm sure, many of you. I know it has for me. Every year gets more and more complex, more and more interesting in so many ways. Anyway, I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this day. We're going to be looking at some New Year's questions that have been offered to me. I'm very, very grateful for the interest that anyone has in anything I do here on Aspire that might be able to serve as help to your understanding. And I have some good questions today and for tomorrow, so I think you'll want to tune in. I want to remind you we're in the closing days of our fundraising drive. Our mystery donor is matching donations for helping us sustain our radio program and the efforts we do on Aspire. He has been very, very kind and generous. It goes until New Year's Day midnight, and I hope that you will make donations and help us sustain our radio program here, our TV efforts, and everything that we do to try to help and serve humankind. It's truly very, very important, and you have no idea how your gift reaches out and touches children, people who are leaving their bodies at hospice that I serve, and all the things I do just to help people along in the course of their lifetime. It's a very complex thing being a teacher like this. So your donations loom very, very important. I hope you will make a donation immediately. I hope you will go to the website if you are interested in making a donation and learning more about all this at aspire.org, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. When you get there, you will see the splash page year end. You can click on that and make your donations there. That would be very, very lovely. That really would be very kind. And I deeply, deeply appreciate your generosity, whatever level it is. Wow, here we are at the end of the year, and it hasn't been socially or politically, and usually the two are tied together, a grand year. It wasn't revolutionary. It had all sorts of things going on in it, mischief, all due to the fact of people not living in the course of their heart, living in the way of their heart and soul, even seeking it. They just doing what they do and how they do it in order to survive and oftentimes go into self-righteousness. So I have three wonderful questions that I received last week. Really, I received these in late November, believe it or not. And I've put them together as a program for you, and I hope they help. The first one comes from Willis. He does not tell me where he lives. What can a person do who did not live well in this world? I didn't do much. I listen to you often and sometimes feel very guilty about not wanting or doing more. Willis. Willis, I when I read your email, I was you know, this is the status quo of what I face for almost 50 years of my career, this indifference, this human indifference that people have. And it's catchy. It's something that's in the collective unconscious. It's not just you, believe it or not. Really, it isn't. It's all over the place. It's all over the world. It's everywhere. People are just trying to ignore what is going on in government and what is going on in society and what is going on with people. I mean, there are all sorts of mischiefs that prevail in this world, vaping, things like that, all sorts of causes and things that people do to try to buffer their low self-esteem, their painful existence in this world. You say, what can a person do who did not do well in this world? Do well. That's my answer. Start doing well. Start doing things that make love possible. Do the things that are brave. Maybe start with small things. Give yourself to some cause or charity that would appeal to something that genetically you normally wouldn't do. I don't know what that would be, but you have to figure out what you need to do to give back, so to speak, to this world in a way that would help, would maybe relieve the pain or the suffering of a child or someone who you know in your personal life needs help, and you would go and do those things that would make love possible in their life by helping them in some way. These things we do, these services we do to help, to serve people, to try to show compassion and love are very, very important things we do. And the effort itself is deeply important. What you choose to do, how you choose to do it, the way you choose to do it is very, very important. But more important than all of the charities and all of the things you can do to help, you have to come to grips within yourself as to the person you are. You have to come to grips with, who am I? Why am I here? What is my life all about? Where am I going with my life? You have to come to grips with the meaning of your own existence in this lifetime. And if you don't come to grips with it, if you can't recognize how important your life is and the kind of person you have become by the way you have lived your life, then nothing I say will be of any benefit. You will have to go through many, 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 many trials and tribulations in your earthly life to awaken. I know people, I have students who don't do very much. They have the time to do it, but they don't do it because they don't want to. I have friends that are like this all over the place. They won't even write a check. I have students that won't even write a check. They don't see the value of their livingness, their inner life. They just won't see it. And the reason they won't see it is because they're afraid. Afraid of the pain of death. It's not just death. People will say to me, oh, I know I'm afraid of death, but really that's a small part of it. It's the pain of dying that bothers people a great deal. Back in the background of their mind, deep, deep, deep in the background of their mind, they live in a world that is sustained by the conversation that it goes on in the mind of all sorts of ways to ignore the meaning of our existence, the meaning of our livingness, through the mischief of doing some emotional gratification. And this conversation goes on and on. Well, what if we go here? What if we go there? What if we do this? What if we do that? That's the only thing that matters to people, is how to occupy themselves and stay occupied until the day they die. Occupied meaning ignore the pain they're afraid of, or ignore the end of their life, or try to get as much as they possibly can before they die, thinking that, well, this will ease my pain of death. But it won't. It won't. And what you're feeling right now is the call to your soul. You can misinterpret this call if you want and go guilty and ashamed. And that would be a tragedy if you did that. I do not recommend that. If you really want to know the way, the truth, and the light, you have to go a little deeper, go a little further. You have to go inside and hear the call to love. If you hear the call to love, if you can hear this call and then heed the call, do those things that make love possible. Do those things that are kind and compassionate. Do those things that allow you to stretch your ability to be kind, to have a sense of mercy towards this lifetime. What people don't understand, and it's very hard to teach those who are cynical, is that the most important gift that you can come out of this world with is one gift and one gift alone. And that gift is mercy, to become merciful. This is one of the most important things that will ever happen to any of us, is that we become so merciful that we can give and forgive. I cannot stress enough to you, Willis, this beauty of forgiveness and this beauty of mercy that forgiveness offers. It sets you free from everything you and I have ever done that has been of mischief making in our life. And if you really, really, really are serious about this question, then you make forgiveness and compassion the most important aspects of your 2020 year. You do everything you can to be forgiving. You do everything you can to help those who have despitefully used you. Yes, forgive them inside yourself. Send them loving energy. Don't wish them ill just because they didn't like you or whatever they did that you felt was unjustified or maybe even justified, I don't know. But you don't live for the sake of compensation of your anger and hatred. You live for the sake of forgiveness and the mercy it can bring you in your everyday life. This is what it's really all about. Nothing more, nothing less. Believe me, it's a more. And if you can practice it, much will happen. Good luck, Willis. If you need help, you can always call me. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Lisa. She does not tell me where she lives either. What do we do with all of the corruption that is going on in this world? I don't see how it can be overcome or anything that we can do. Lisa. There is something we can do, Lisa. There is a tremendous corruption. And basically, our corruption comes from our society. And we have built in this society all sorts of means and ways of gratifying ourselves. And then that leaks out into government. And then government starts to become the voice of our own inner corruption. When you really think about it, what you're seeing with government today, including our president and Congress and all of that, and this is the bad breath of the American public and how we think, how we live our lives, what we value, what we don't value, what we think is important and what we think is unimportant. What you're seeing is a reflection of us in the mirror of politics, in the mirror of society. So what do we do with all of this corruption? It's so big. You're not going to change corruption. Corruption needs a beginning, a high point, and then it will drop off and destroy its own means and then start again and go back up. There is no way to legislate love. There is no way to legislate the beauty of compassion and forgiveness. So here's what you have to do, what I have to do, all of us have to do. We have to live in the auspice of love, of kindness, of mercy. We must be that which, as Gandhi said, we want to see in the world. It is true. He was so right. So you live, you meditate, you work upon yourself, you forgive and you give. You live separate from all of this craziness and don't fill your head up with politics and all the crazy stuff that is going on. I like to dip my toe in it every so often to see what the temperature is, but I wouldn't get any further than that. I won't wade in it, and you shouldn't either. It's not good for you. It's just a cesspool of unkindness. But if you can go a little further, a little deeper inside yourself and live separate from all that is happening in and of this world, all that is happening in and of the confines of corruption that you see in the world, and start doing something about what you don't like, then you have done something very beautiful with your lifetime. You see something you don't like? You see it in yourself first. Then work upon it. What is it I don't like? Maybe you have a heavy critic. Maybe you have a tremendous hatred towards those who don't agree with you, or you just want to live your life on the terms of your own selfishness and pride and vanity. Make sure these things aren't evident in your life. These things aren't the major corruptions of your own life. You have to see, honestly, Lisa, what is corrupting your own life? What do you see corrupting you? What is the government within yourself that you see in you? Maybe you're cheap. Maybe you don't tell the truth. Maybe you're trying to cover up something you don't want yourself to even see about your persona, your personality, whatever it is. Maybe you're self-righteous about the people you hate. Maybe you think you have enemies, and maybe you're vengeful about that. Or maybe you want to see bad guys get whatever they're going to get in your mind. Maybe you want to see all of this kind of craziness. That's where you begin. You begin the antidote of being merciful and kind, forgiving. You do the things that your ego tells you not to do, that your ego tells you you shouldn't have to do. You do those things that make love possible. That's what you do. And you don't fight it. You don't try to, you know, lie about it to yourself. You don't try to make things what they're not and make other people responsible for you and how you feel. You take responsibility for your own self, and you live away from, independent of the information you're getting from politics and religion and philosophy. You meditate. You begin to find that deep inner core within you that is your goodness. If you don't find that deep inner core of your own inner goodness, you'll just become one of them. The ones you don't like. It is so important to understand what I'm just trying to share with you here. It's a simple thing. When I am not interested in my own mischief, I won't be interested in other people's mischief. When I'm involved in my mischief, when I'm not telling the truth, or I'm not being generous, or I'm not being forgiving, or I'm not being kind, then I'm only interested in my own craziness. And, you know, we can all get crazy anytime you want. You can get crazy. You can say and do things that are unnecessary. I wrote a commentary this month on what your heart cannot bear. If you were a sponsor, you could get it, you know. But if you want a subscription, you can do that too and read them, all of the commentaries. But this one on what your heart cannot bear is really, really important. And if you read it and you understand it and you comprehend it, because you really want to comprehend it, you really do want to understand it, then you have something really unique. Your human heart is here to be broken, not to be asserted, not to be aggrandized. You have to understand that. The human heart fluctuates from what it would call a tempered goodness to a real unfathomable evil. And we live in that, especially when it comes to wanting a lifestyle that we think we deserve or we think is better than or whatever. We live very, very negatively. We live dangerously inside ourselves. And the most dangerous thing we live in is vengeance, pride, vanity. Ugh. I could go on and on and on. And you know what these qualities are because I'm sure you've encountered them within yourself. Lisa, don't blame the world for the way it is. It is the way it is. And it isn't going to change. Not ever. And just because it's not going to change doesn't mean that you and I shouldn't change. We need to change within ourselves. We need to see the light and the love that lives within us and live in that light and love with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. That's what we need to do. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Thomas. Don't know where he lives. There is little goodness and mercy in this world. I don't even see a reason to try. Thomas. Thomas, you must be a Gen Xer or something. I have been reading about the statistics of Gen Xers and millennials and all of the generations, and I do understand why you would feel this way. I really do. It makes sense to the basic core of our DNA that says, you know, survival of the fittest is the only way to live. I understand that deeply because I have DNA. But what reward have you if you only live your life in accordance with what other people are doing that you maybe don't think are correct or aren't living a life worth living? They're just not. If you go take a look at my series, A Life Worth Living, I think you'll find it very helpful. But, you know, do you have the time? Do you have the mental capacity to sit there and listen for 28 minutes? Probably not. That's what I've read on the on the stats from Pew Research about people's attentions. This radio program, you know, this is, you know, 4 minutes, something like that. And it's very hard for people to listen to because they don't have the attention span. So if you don't think it's worth it, you won't do it. And I can't talk you into this. You know what I mean? Really, why try? Well, it isn't to change the world, as I told Lisa. It is to change ourselves, not the world. You're not going to change the world. In this world, Jesus even said it, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. You have to understand that. He didn't change the world. Gandhi didn't change the world. Nobody changes the world. Buddha did not change the world. There are too many people with different and varying opinions. Love, listen to me, love is not appealing to most people. Love is not appealing. Vengeance, pride, vanity, melodrama, these are things that people pride themselves on. Love is not something we are much interested in. We are interested in a profit. We are interested in wealth. We are interested in thinking that we are free. And the only time we can be free is when we have enough money to do whatever we want. And that is wrong too. But all of this keeps going and going and going. It goes to nauseam. And I can't change that. I can't talk you in or out of any of that. It is absolutely impossible for me to do. So if you're looking for some answer, pat answer that will say, well, you should do this, it's obvious, not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You need to read the book Behave by Robert Sapolsky. You really do. You need to read that book diligently if you really want the answer. That is the way. Homo Deus. You need to read that one too. That will help you understand many, many things. So there are books you can read. There are things you can educate yourself on. And then you can turn around if you really want, Thomas, and then decide what you want to do with the rest of your life. That's what really needs to happen. And if it doesn't, you'll just be making the same mistakes everybody else is making. And it can turn out to be pretty ugly. I'm out of here. Thank you, Thomas, for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are. I got more questions tomorrow. They're corkers. I love these questions. If you ever want to send me one, you can do so by emailing me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire, aspire.org. Have a beautiful day. And once again, please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.